I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy hour of power. The Terry and Jesse Show. Hey, not a bad idea to start off today, October 31st, the evening before All Saints Day, with the St. Michael the Archangel prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Lord, protect everybody, all the Catholics tonight, all the believers. Protect them tonight, Lord. Cover us with your precious blood, Virgin most powerful. Pray for us. St. Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us. May our guardian angels guide us today and throughout the evening, and keep us safe and holy, and pray for us in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Terry, I'm back.
Jesse, welcome back. And just a quick note before we do the gospel, and I want to hear about your trip that you've been gone for a couple of days, but you said the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. I find it interesting. Father Z, I don't know if you saw the article. People can go to Father Z's website. He has an interesting comment, and I think he's spot on, Jesse. Back in 1965, when the St. Michael prayer was repressed at the Mass, we used to say this prayer, everybody, right after Mass. Now, many of us are still doing it, and St. John Paul II brought it back. But isn't it interesting, Jesse, when all the havoc hit us in 1965, when we stopped praying? There's two things I want to mention, Jesse, and see if I'm onto something. One, lots of people stopped praying with the sexual revolution coming on. So the St. Michael prayer was stopped praying. We stopped praying that. I think that affected the graces for people to say no to the world, the devil, and the flesh. Am I onto something, Jess?
Without a doubt.
Okay. Let's talk about the gospel, and then after the gospel.
That's a good connection, though. I like that.
I think it makes sense. Father Z made it. I didn't.
Yeah. What it was suppressed in 64?
65 is what Father Z said on his
website. That's when the rumblings of the sexual revolution really began in our country. You throw out the minor exorcism prayer from the low Mass.
You think?
And this is what you get, the culture of death. Yep. Terry, I want to just share the first reading today because...
Oh, it's so powerful.
Since it's Halloween and a lot of people celebrate it like pagans, not like Christians,
mm-hmm.
I think this is good for our Catholic believing audience.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39, St. Paul says, okay, brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? Just key in on that, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care. People say, oh, but my sister-in-law's cursing me. My brother-in-law is, he's part of a voodoo and he's doing this. Look at what the Bible just said.
Yep.
Don't give the devil or demons or witches more credit than what they're due. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if you're in a state of grace, God is for you.
Amen.
Don't worry about nothing. He did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. How will he not give us everything else along with him? What's he talking about there? He did not spare his own son. St. Paul's talking about that event that occurred in Genesis 22, verse 12, where he compares God the Father's surrender of Christ on Calvary to Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. So this event took place, in fact, in Moriah, which is built in modern-day Jerusalem. So it goes on to say, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So let's remember this, okay? God's in the business of saving. Nobody else is. God is the only one that can save us, and you'll see who can damn us. It's yourself as we go on. Okay, who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. That word intercedes for us is a lawyer term, which means, man, if Jesus is your lawyer before God the Father, guess what? You're in good hands. But if Jesus is not your lawyer, guess what? You're in deep trouble. Verse 35, it says, who shall separate separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What is St. Paul saying? Okay? He's saying that, number one, we're all going to enter into a life of suffering by following Christ.
Amen.
That's a given.
Yep.
But he's saying here that suffering doesn't cut you off from Christ. Okay? The only thing that can cut you off from Christ is unrepentant sin. Only sin can pry you away from God's grace. And St. Paul starts talking about, in verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Okay? These are some afflictions that St. Paul is talking about that comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. These are these afflictions that God, he sent what's called these covenant curses. He let them loose upon Israel when they abandoned their covenant. But here St. Paul is talking about covenant curses. We don't have any worry to, we don't have nothing to worry about any covenant curse from Leviticus because we're in Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you're in a state of grace, you got nothing to worry about any covenant curses mentioned in the book of Leviticus. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. For your sake, what St. Paul's talking about? He's basically saying that this is the cry of the believer. Those of us that live faithfully in Christ and who bear with Christ the curses of suffering and death that the world is gonna throw at our feet. How do we overcome this? We accept this and we crush suffering. How? By redemptive suffering. In other words, we conquer suffering in a redemptive way by saying, you know what? Bring it on. I'm on him in Jesus, and I'm gonna offer this right back to him. And now Jesus does something very powerful with your redemptive suffering and turns it into grace into the body of Christ for those that need grace, healing, and blessing. 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. St. Paul here, he's not talking about absolute assurance of salvation like a lot of Protestant fundamentalists claim. What he's saying here is that salvation cannot be threatened by any cosmic force outside of us. Okay? So for St. Paul, the only threat to our salvation, according to St. Paul, is our free will. Your free will can reject God's love and forfeit eternal life through sin. But any cosmic force, angels, demons, earthquakes, anything else external to you cannot separate you from God. The only one that can separate you from God is you through unconfessed, unrepentant, mortal sin. Terry.
Jesse, that's so reassuring for us today in this age that we're living in, the crisis. Remember who we worship, Jesus Christ, no pope, no bishop, no priest. So when you have scandal that we have right now, be reassured by the word of God. Remember the five stones that we talk about at every show that we do? One of the stones is reading the scripture. That reading in Jesse, what he did is exegesis, lifts me up, Jesse, to give me power to fight the good fight. Now,
amen.
Now go ahead, Jess.
No, I'm done, Terry.
Okay, so here's what I want to say. I got a quote from Sheen that's going to fit right into what we're speaking about from the Romans reading, and also later on of the show.
Richard, my...
So what I want to say is this. Old Sheen ahead. Here we go. Yep, that's right. Bishop Sheen's coming in. And this fits right in because, you know, we've said, show me your scars. Listen to what Bishop Sheen says. Broken things are precious. We eat broken bread because we share in the death of our Lord and his broken life. Broken flowers give perfume. Broken incense is used in adoration. A broken ship saves St. Paul, who we just read from, and many other passengers on the way to Rome. Sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them. Jesse, why do I get that reading? Because when we're serving Christ and his church, there's going to come times when we are going to be broken by standing up for Jesus Christ. And what you just said earlier in the show about your uncle, your aunt, your brother. He's this, he's doing that. Yes, when we stand up for Christ, yes, it's going to cost us. But right now, especially now, Jesse, in the time we're living in, this is the time not to run, but to have a deep, deep relationship with Jesus Christ through his church, through the sacraments. So this is what we're going to talk about when we come back from our break, about some of the scandals, and I mean serious scandals in the church. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, oh, let's go golf, Jesse, forget about this. This isn't too bad. No, we're going to stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ loud and clear. And that's what Virgin Most Powerful has been doing for almost 2 years now with your support. Go ahead, Jess.
Terry, let me just mention that I want to just commend a brave Catholic priest. Pray for him. Send him an email.
Sure.
He's at Father Robert Morey.
Yeah.
He's at a Florence church in South Carolina. He's the one that refused to give Joe Biden Holy Communion.
Yep.
Okay? We got to know, he's got to know that we support what he did.
Right.
Okay? This man just followed the code of canon law. This man followed what St. Thomas Aquinas has always said. This brave priest is called Father Robert Morey. He's at St. Anthony Catholic Church. And last night I sent him an email. He did what every Catholic priest and bishop should be doing.
Yep.
And I just take my hat off to him. This priest is what I would call a true soldier of Christ. God bless you, Father Robert Morey. And you inspire us. Really inspire us.
And believe me, that priest is going to pay a price for doing the right thing. And so are we when we follow Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be back with much more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hey, we've been talking about Pachamama, the pagan idol. Great article by our friend Steve Mosher.
Yep.
He writes for LifeSite News. They posted his article. He says, I wonder if in the long history of the Catholic Church, any pope has ever before blessed an idol.
Nope.
As Pope Francis did in the Vatican Gardens a few days ago. That was after the assembled congregants, including a Catholic Franciscan friar, had bowed and prayed before that same idol. Mind you, I rather suspect not. I'm just wondering what Moses would have done if he would have been there.
I know what he would have done.
In fact, Steve says, I'm pretty sure that Catholics, popes, bishops, and laity have done precisely the opposite of what we saw in the Vatican Gardens throughout the ages. Whenever they found idols, they spoke out against them, not only urging their destruction, but often destroying them with their own hands. Take, for example, St. Gregory the Great, who reigned as pope from 590 to 604 AD. He's famous for sending the missionary St. Augustine of Canterbury to evangelize the then pagan Anglo-Saxons in England. And in a letter to the abbot recorded by St. Bede in church history, St. Gregory issued the following instructions, quote, tell Bishop Augustine that I have decided after long deliberation about the English peoples, namely that the idol temples of that race should not be destroyed, but only the idols inside of them. Let blessed water be prepared and sprinkled in these temples and altars constructed and relics deposited. For these temples are well built, it is essential that they should be transferred from the worship of devils to the service of the true God. St. Augustine of Canterbury did as he was told by the Pope, destroying the pagan idols the temples contained while converting the temples themselves into Catholic churches. Destroying an idol reveals to everyone in a way that nothing else does the utter powerlessness of demons in the presence of Christ. Terry?
Jesse, Stephen Mosier is a good friend of mine. I've known him when he became a Catholic years and years ago, okay? He studied, and just for those who don't know, this man is an anthropologist, okay? Went to China and exposed the one-child program. So he's been a defender of the faith for 30 years that I've known him. He says this, Jesse, that makes sense to me. He says, as an anthropologist, I recognize the statue of a naked and very pregnant woman that was brought into the Vatican. Similar idols were worshipped in the fertility cults of many primitive cultures around the world and still are in the recesses of the Amazon. Not a few such cults demand human sacrifice at the price of their favors. Mm. Now, Jesse, here's the point. The Catholic Church for 2,000 years has handled this situation by bringing Jesus Christ and getting rid of all of these idols. And even in places in Rome, you'll see, Jess, these beautiful churches were built over pagan worship places. And this is what we've been doing for years. So I just want to say the perennial teachings of the church has always been to get rid of these idols, call them for what they are, pagan gods, and bring in Jesus Christ. That's how we've evangelized the pagans for 20 centuries. And for this approach of bringing the, you know what, bringing these idols into our church, it's a sacrilege. And so I just want to say thank you, Steve Mosier, for giving us his opinion from an anthropologist perspective, because just
and theological,
but it's just basically the church has responded for years on this, and what we did a couple weeks ago in Rome, let's just face it, it was a sacrilege. And I mean, you know, we got to call it for what it is. We can't hide around it, Jess. It's what it is.
The prophet Daniel and our Lord Jesus Christ would call that the abomination of desolation, which means in the Bible, bringing a pagan idol into a holy place. And that's what it means. That's what we just witnessed.
Yeah.
It happened in the time Daniel the prophet spoke out about it. Jesus in Matthew 24 spoke out about it. And we just witnessed it again in 2019. Very sad.
Very sad.
We as Catholics should be, again, we need to augmenting our prayer life.
Well, not only that, Jesse, we need to be praying for the Holy Father every day after our rosary, which we all do, I hope. And, you know, not even Pope Francis himself, Stephen said, who is from South America, has visited the Amazon, has identified the statue as Pachamama. There can be no doubt about her identity. Because you remember, Jesse, at first, people were saying, oh, wait, it might be St. Anne, it might be the Blessed Mother. But, you know, I'm joking. Are you kidding me? Even in the modern versions of the cult found in Peru, Pachamama is conceived as if one anthropologist called a non-human sacred social person whom a relationship of reciprocity must be maintained. Yes, it's a pagan god. Let's don't beat around the bush. And so here's the point. I think we need to make reparation for that sacrilege. That's my take.
I'm sure people are doing it. I think most good believing Catholics have been doing reparations since this happened.
Yep.
Terry, and there's this some in the Vatican at first claimed that the statues again represented Our Lady of the Amazon.
Get out of here. I hate when they said that. That's
Yeah. And this interpretation, the Vatican office, press office, was at pains to refute. The Vatican press office repeatedly and correctly denied any connection between the Queen of Heaven and the pagan goddess of Mother Earth that the statue represents.
Good.
But Andrea Tornelli, the editorial director for the Vatican Dicastery for Communication, she tried to explain how it was that the Pope came to bless a pagan idol but wound up making things worse.
Yep.
The Pope called the idol a statue, and he said it was an image of motherhood and the sacredness of life, a traditional symbol for the indigenous peoples representing the bond with our Mother Earth. And then they tried to describe it as described by St. Francis of Assisi in the Canticle of the Creatures. But Steve writes, leaving aside the gratuitous reference to St. Francis, whose name is being invoked at every turn at this synod, Tornelli, the director of the Vatican Dicastery of Communications, is saying that the statues representing fertility, life, and Mother Earth are exactly what they seem to be. So now the Vatican saying, they're pagan idols from Amazon. Pachamama idols still worshipped by the primitive peoples of the Amazon are part of the fertility cult. So Tornelli from the Vatican Dicastery of Communications has admitted that they are, in fact, Amazon idols that are still worshipped today as deities. Not now that even Pope Francis himself, who is from South America and has visited the Amazon, has identified the statue as the Pachamama.
Sure.
There can be no doubt about her identity.
And Jesse, that was all brought about by the pressure, I believe, of lay people speaking up about this and also leading cardinals and bishops like Bishop Athanasius Snyder and others. Daniel, you've been on hold about the priest in North Carolina who stood up to Mr. Biden and would not give him Holy Communion. You want to join in on that conversation. Brother, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Reporting for duty, sir.
I love it. Good job. What's on your mind, brother?
Terry, Jesse, how are you?
Good.
I read the article that Jesse mentioned earlier.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, I give him props too. But what got me the most is that I was reading the comments on that specific webpage, and I was amazed how many people that are so-called Catholic, and they were condemning the priest, saying that he should not made that decision.
Yeah, who am I to judge?
Between,
give me a break.
You know, that decision, absolutely. That decision should have been made, you know, it's between him and God was going to judge him and all that. But I was like, but that's not a Catholic doctrine. So it came to my mind that you guys are right. We are Catholics, but we are like Protestants. You see what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We say, we're Catholic, but I don't believe
pick and choose
in the doctrine of the church. You see what I mean?
So yes, I do.
Well, we really, you know, most of the people that they're Catholics, they don't really know the doctrine because if they say that, then they're super wrong about what we teach. You know, what Jesus has been saying for the last 1,000 years through the church. And I was amazed, like I said. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Daniel. Daniel, can I mention something back to you, brother? Because you live in Southern California. I mentioned yesterday Pope Francis is granting a plenary indulgence for praying at any ordinate mass. This is the Anglican Ordinate Mass this Sunday, November 3rd, because it marks the 10th anniversary of Pope Benedict's Apostolic Constitution, creating three new personal ordinariates. Now, we have it at Sacred Heart Chapel here in Covina at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Now, folks, I have to warn you, you come to our Mass at 9 o'clock. Ask Jess when 9 a.m. Mass, you come. We have a beautiful, reverent Mass. There's no communion standing. There's no communion in the hand. We have a powerful preacher every Sunday who gives a great homily. There's no talking in church. There's confessions before Mass every Sunday. I mean, it's like nothing you've experienced. Unless
you don't have Mrs. O'Connor, Mrs. Ferguson, Mrs. Garcia up on the altar. Pesky the Holy Communion like if it's cookies?
Yeah. No, we don't. We don't have any extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist. And you come, and you remember yesterday I mentioned the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaching on the usual conditions for a plenary indulgence. But I just want to invite you, Daniel, one time, bring your family to Covina this Sunday. I'd love to meet up with you because I've met you on the phone several times. But I'm going to tell you, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for anyone in Southern California, and especially if you're in Houston or other areas of the country, Orange County, look it up on the internet. Take advantage of the graces from that plenary indulgence. And Daniel...
And get people out of purgatory.
I'm glad you're... And I'm just glad you're reporting for duty, sir.
Yep. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, brother.
Yep.
God love you.
Terry, talking about that priest, all he was doing was following what
duty.
The Code of Canon Law says. That's all he was doing. And he was following what St. Thomas, the angelic doctor, was saying.
Of course.
And I'll tell you what's sad to me is that Cardinal Dolan, and I wish he would have just kept quiet about this, but no. Cardinal Dolan had to say something. He says, well, I agree about what Father Robert Morey did, but I would not have done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So Cardinal Dolan kind of paid a backhanded compliment. Well, I agree with him what he did, but I would not have done it myself. You know, and of course he's in all the mainstream media saying this, trying to undermine this young holy pastor. That's upsetting. I wish Cardinal Dolan would have just kept his mouth shut, in my opinion.
Well, let me let you know about Cardinal Dolan. I know his friends that went to school with him, and they all tell me when they went to school in Rome with him, and I'm not talking out of story. This is just a fact. If Cardinal Dolan can get a little airtime on the media, he'll come out. And it's been very consistent. I noticed that, Jesse. He'll always have a comment. If the media will put a microphone in his face, he will always speak up. And as I say, I pray for him also because he speaks from both sides of the mouth. Whatever,
exactly.
You know, and I don't appreciate that. I appreciate someone who's like a Bishop Athanasius Schneider who just says, here's the truth, and I'm not politically correct. I believe that we need more prelates like that, Jess.
That's right. Terry, Steve Mosher, the last
good
part
man.
Of the article, I like what he says. He says,
"Yep.
In fact, I believe that it is no exaggeration to say this. The Amazon Synod organizers have betrayed
yep.
the very people they claim to be helping.
I agree.
All the face paint, all the parrot feathers in the world cannot disguise the fact that they themselves were engaged, the Amazonian Synod organizers, in a kind of ideological exploitation right. of the peoples who live there to promote their own agenda. In the name of protecting the rainforest, the organizers of the Synod, the German prelates, by the way, who funded it, would condemn the peoples who live there to perpetual poverty. Yep. Instead of bringing them Christ, Terry, they want to keep them in spiritual darkness through Pachamama and all this other cosmic garbage.
Jesse, and that's what Virgin Most Powerful does, brings you Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back with more.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Luke Caller, Catholic Radio, speaking the truth in charity, straight talk Catholicism. Terry, LifeSite News also reports that the Pachamama statues were absent from the Amazon Synod's closing mass.
For good reason, too.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I think they basically heard the hue and cry, the pushback from the laity. And so the good news is that they were not there at the closing mass.
That's right.
These idols, they were missing on Sunday. And one hears from well-informed circles in the Vatican on the part of the bishops. There were beforehand some statements according to which they would not be able to participate at the closing mass.
Yeah, they wouldn't show up
if these statues would be used. So a lot of bishops says, I'm not going to show up. If you have these statues out several bishops and priests, they said, you know what? We're not going to participate at the closing mass if these Pachamama statues are displayed inside the Catholic Church, much less are we going to honor them or venerate them. So, again, there was a pushback from the lady, a hard pushback. A lot of it through social media, Terry, because
we don't
run the big networks that we're no longer part of. The big networks won't talk about this stuff.
No.
Okay. I will give credit to one person from a big network that is exposing this all day long. Raymond Arroyo.
Watch him tonight.
Everybody listen to Raymond Arroyo every week.
Every Thursday
boy,
night.
Oh, boy. He's got a big bully pulpit.
Yep.
He's a truth teller.
That's right.
He's red-pilled. He's woken up, as they say, and boy, oh boy, is this guy definitely on our side. So support Raymond Arroyo, pray for him, and watch him every week. Terry?
Absolutely. And remember what Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, speaking about the presence of Pachamama statues at several ceremonies in the Vatican. He stated that the Catholics cannot accept any pagan worship, nor any syncretism, which between pagan beliefs and practices and those of the Catholic Church. Syncretism, one religion is as good as another.
Yep.
No, we can't have that. He continued, and I love it because tomorrow, folks, he's going to come on with a clip that you're going to love. But he continued saying that acts of worship of kneeling, a candlelight and bowing down and prostrating or profoundly bowing to the ground. We saw it on the video, dancing before an unclothed female statue, which represents neither Our Lady nor a canonized saint of the church. And he just says it clearly, and I thank him, violates the first commandment of God. You shall have no gods before me. And Jesse Snyder praised the men. He praised the men who removed the Pachamama statues from the Catholic Church in Rome as heroes.
Amen.
Saying about them, like a new Maccabees, they acted in the spirit of holy wrath. Wow, of our Lord who expelled the merchants from the temple in Jerusalem with a whip. The gestures of these Christian men will be recorded in the annals of the church history as heroic acts which brought glory to the Christian name. Is that an endorsement, Jess?
Absolutely.
So,
see, that's why there's many great men that have told us that in the third millennium, there's going to be many saints.
Yeah.
And it's going to be easier to become a saint in the third millennium. Why? Because I believe that the great apostasy is here.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's here now. And those Catholics that don't apostatize and don't go along to get along and that resist and become part of God's remnant, that very small church, like these men, for example, like that priest in South Carolina.
That's right.
You could already see God's remnant. You could already see those true believers that are going to resist the apostasy. And a lot of true believers, heroic virtue just means living a holy life right now in a time where it's difficult, where we live in a culture of death and a culture of compromise, even within our own church. And bumping up your prayer life, bumping up your sacramental life, as Ruben Nava says, getting churched up and getting prayed up in a time right now when it's not popular. Most people are saying, hey, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, be countercultural. Swim against, you know, go against the grain. That's how you become a saint in the third millennium. And that's why many great men have said there's going to be many great saints in this millennium, Terry, because we're going to be tried by fire.
And Jesse, Bishop Marian Alantar from Switzerland stated on Saturday that even if Pope Francis somehow insists, which he does, that these statues were used without adulterous intentions, adulterous intentions, there would still remain the scandal that at least it looks like adultery, and that the Rock of Peter...
Idolatry.
I'm sorry, I keep saying the wrong word. And that the Rock of Peter, the Pope, is not all getting worried about it. On the contrary, he said the Pope even defends those rituals conducted in the Vatican Gardens, which are alien to Christianity. And you know what, Jess? This just gives me an opportunity to have like a little overload here. But I just have to say this, that our...
Speak from your heart, Terry.
Okay, the U.S. bishops are going to be meeting with their ad liminal visits to the Holy Father. Every 5 years, the bishops go and meet with the Pope and give their concerns. As a layman, canon law says I'm supposed to express my sentiments. And if this is your sentiments, then so be it. But I have four things to say to the Holy Father that I would ask our bishops to bring to him. Number one, please, Holy Father, first of all, we pray after every rosary in the Barber family, our Father, Hail Mary, and a glory be, that the Pope will continue to do God's will. That's what I pray for, okay? Now, every day we pray for him, but here's what I want to say to him. Holy Father, through my bishops, would you please tell Pope Francis to stop condemning us for having large families? Okay, he said that we're reproducing like rabbits, and that really hurt me. Holy Father, please confirm me in my faith. Don't undermine me in my faith. Number two, stop criticizing us for those young men and women who want to go to a traditional Latin mass or a traditional mass at all, as saying that they're somehow mentally unbalanced. Now, Holy Father, with all due respect, I realize you're from Argentina, Buenos Aires, where they have the largest amount of psychotherapists in the entire world. And I know you spent 3 years under psychotherapy, but not all of us are sick because we want a reverent mass. So please don't criticize us for that. Number three, please don't tell us that hell will not exist at the end of time. These are all things you've said. This is undermining evangelization. I've spent 40 years of my life trying to evangelize people, and I talk about the four last things, and you're going to undermine me by saying that at the end of time, hell doesn't exist? Please stop it. The last thing, I could go on for 20 more, but one more, please. Please stop telling us when you read the gospel of the miracle of the loaves, and I have it all documented, that this was not a miracle. It wasn't supernatural that Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. No, this was the generosity of the people there. I've heard that before you were the Pope by modernist Jesuits. I'm sorry to have to say, and others. Because this is not confirming me in the faith. What it's doing is it's undermining my faith. So with all sincerity, I ask you to knock it off, please, and start giving us the perennial teachings of the church. That's all I ask, Jess.
Amen. Terry, you're just asking what the code of canon law says, that every lay Catholic is we are due in justice the teachings of the Catholic Church.
That's it.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Please.
That's our
pretty
canonical
please.
Right. And all you're doing, Terry, is invoking canon law, which every pope has to submit to. Terry, also Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, he said also earlier this week, I want to throw him into the mix. He's already raised his voice of resistance. I mean, after all, he got fired as the prefect for the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Yeah,
so.
For good reason. I mean, a bad reason, because he was too orthodox.
Exactly. He raised his voice against the Pachamama statues. He was on with EWTN's journalist Raymond Arroyo, and he said the following quote, "The great mistake was to bring the idols into the church."
Amen.
"Not to put them out, because according to the law of God himself, the first commandment, idolatry is the grave sin, and not to mix them with the Christian liturgy." Mm-hmm. Cardinal Mueller says, "To put it out, to throw it out, can be against human law, but to bring the idols into the church was a grave sin, a crime against the divine law." I mean, this is this basic Baltimore Catechism, First Commandment stuff, and I just can't believe some of the prelates that have PhDs and two PhDs, and you know they're academics. How can they miss something so basic? I asked the Amazonian Synod Fathers, "Have you read the book of Exodus?"
Yeah, really?
You know, chapter 20, when Moses, you know, he left to go get the Ten Commandments, and his brother Aaron compromised with the people, and they made a golden calf. And what were they doing? They were dancing around the golden calf. The Hebrew word is that they were having an orgy, a sexual orgy, mm-hmm. and they're worshiping these pagan deities, these diabolical deities. Terry, what's very interesting to see is that sexual perversion,
that's where
and
I was going, Jesse,
go hand in hand.
Got it, Bart.
And the 300-page dossier that was given to Pope Benedict and now given to Pope Francis,
yep.
in that documentary that they have not released, yep. only little parts of it,
yep.
it's a document that chronicles all the sexual perversion amongst the clergy, and also it chronicles the idolatry.
Wow.
And it also chronicles the financial corruption. All three of them, gold, sexual perversion.
They go together.
And the worship of false gods go together.
That's
and
right.
It's all contained in that 300-page dossier. That's the problem right now. They're offending God. They're offending the first commandment.
You nailed it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the big solution to all this. What is the solution? Well, Jess just said prayer, sacrifice. Remember what Our Lady said, everybody? I say it all the time. Fatima. And we're going to talk about that third secret tomorrow with Father Charles Murr regarding Fatima and the implementation of what is that third secret of Fatima. But Our Lady said souls are going to hell, and hell does exist after the end of time. That's the teachings of the Catholic Church, that they're going to hell because there's no one there to make sacrifices and to pray for them. So you, our listener, me, Jess, all of us, we can participate in the salvation of souls by doing our daily duty in our life and making reparation for the sins of the world. Because let's face it, Jess, we're out of control. What you just said about sexual morality, the misconduct of money problems, laundering, it's all there in our church. We need to pray hard for Holy Mother, the church, that she'll come out of this and proclaim Christ and his church loud and clear. Jess, when we come back, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about some great saints in the Catholic
Church. Oh, boy. Tons of them.
That have destroyed idols. They say, nope, not in my house.
No. All right, we'll be right back. Get another cup of coffee. I bet you need it after this segment. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three. According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Talk about heroes. I got an article in front of me. It's called Saints Who Destroyed Religious Images.
Oh, gosh, there's so many.
Yeah, there's just too many to count. You're too many to talk about. You're going to have to get this on our show page, vmpr.org, or my website, jesseromero.com. We could give you two or three,
yep,
and then we'll try to wrap it up with some good news. Big famous one, King Hezekiah, back in 687 BC. He was the king of Judah, and in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse chapter 18 to 20, this gives the scriptural precedent for the physical destruction of idols. Here's what happened. King Hezekiah is glorified because in order to restore true worship of God in his kingdom, the Bible says, quote, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. And as the scripture explains, the righteous king did these things because he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. I mean, this is probably one of the most famous. Here's another one I'll throw to Terry.
Okay.
King Josiah. Back in 609 BC, King Josiah, in a similar way to King Hezekiah, Josiah also used his royal authority to clean up the faith of Israel. He destroyed the idols and other objects related to the worship of Baal, and the Bible describes his legacy as follows in 2 Kings 23:25. It says, quote, neither before nor after King Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with the law of Moses. So King Josiah, he's included in the genealogy of Jesus Christ by St. Matthew, and so is celebrated on the second Sunday before Christmas. Terry, we need another, we need right now, and I pray that God sends us another King Hezekiah and another King Josiah to sit as the Bishop of Rome.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you another one, but my phone is burning up because of what I asked the Holy Father to do. So I said all those things to the Holy Father with love. There's no animosity in what I asked him to do. It's because the salvation of souls are at risk. Okay, here's another one. The earliest record Bishop of Larsa, Saint Archelaus, was present at the first ecumenical council, Jess, where he was defending the Orthodox faith. In his city, the miracle-working Agilius embodied well and fuller Orthodox understanding of religious images. He was renowned for both. He was renowned for what? Both tearing down pagan temples and adorning the Christian churches with icons. May he rest in peace.
Terry, there's just too many.
I know. More and more.
Here's one from tradition.
Okay.
The Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Mother in the first century, get this, as part of sacred tradition, it's believed that during Christ's flight into Egypt, statues to the native gods crumbled and fell at his presence. This led to the conversion of some of the inhabitants, and the story is enshrined in the Akathist hymn to the Mother of God, which contains the following stanza addressed to Jesus. They sing this over in Egypt. And remember, Egypt was like the first Christian city. It says, quote, By shining in Egypt the light of truth, Jesus, thou didst dispel the darkness of falsehood, for its idols fell, O Savior, unable to endure thy strength. Terry?
Jesse, I want to give some people some good news. This article, you can read dozens of saints that have done this.
They're inspiring.
They're very inspiring. But yep. I want to just mention that, folks, Jesse just came back from a three-day mission. He talks on the four last things, holiness. I'm going to be doing an evangelization seminar on the 11th of November at Martyrs Church in Marietta, California, proclaiming the teachings of Christ. What can you do? Because, you see, we can talk about these problems in the church, but also let's spend some time through prayer, reparation, atonement, and evangelization. And that's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We give you the five stones of David. We're not here to just say, hey, we got some more breaking news. This bad thing happened. Yes, we're going to talk about it. But you know what? Every time we talk about terrible things, we talk about good things. Like, for example, Jesse, this week I've mentioned that priest in South Carolina. What's his name again?
I think Robert Morey.
I mean, to me, that guy needs more emails. Jesse, can you publicly give out his email address?
Yeah, keep talking and I'll get it and I'll give it out.
I want him to get his inbox so full with people around the country saying, that a boy, Father, we appreciate you standing up for the faith. Because that's what Virgin Most Powerful Radio is all about. And that's why I think you support us. We're at the end of the month. We're a little short for the month. We had some people that didn't come through, unfortunately. So if you have an extra donation you want to make to Virgin Most Powerful, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or you call me after the show. I want to talk to you and thank you. You just call me at 661-972-7872. Because here at Virgin Most Powerful, we don't just hit you with the bad news. We give you the good news. And I want to mention that without the good news, we wouldn't be here. See, because we know we win at the end. So don't be depressed. I get enough calls from people saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to fight with our swords, with our rosary, with our masses, with our adoration, with going to be and living in the state of grace. Jess, do you have that address?
Yeah, I'm on the website here. I'm on the homepage, so I'll be able to
get Well, let me just mention this, Jess, while you're doing it. The five stones of David. First Friday's coming up next week. No, tomorrow's First Friday, right, Jess? Yeah,
right.
That's right.
I got it.
Okay.
I got his email.
Go ahead. Give it out, brother.
Okay, it's Father Robert Morey. He's the pastor at St. Anthony Catholic Church in Florence, South Carolina.
Yep.
His email is rmorey, that's all lower, everything lowercase, rmorey at charlestondiocese.org. rmorey at charlestondiocese.org. Okay, so he's the pastor of St. Anthony Catholic Church, Charleston Diocese, South Carolina. If you want to look him up, if you can get this email, send him an email. Tell him we're behind him and that we're praying for him. This is the type of courage we need to see in our clergy to inspire the rest of the body of Christ. Terry?
Absolutely, Jesse. And that's why we come up with these five stones of David with Goliath. And I said, First Friday's tomorrow. So make your say your prayers for your First Friday devotion. Spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, whether it's a holy hour or a visit, and make reparation for these terrible sins that are going on in our church. Also, your daily rosary. I'll just throw this at you, Jess. Yesterday, one of the good supporters of Virgin Most Powerful said, you know why I support you? I said, why? He says, yeah, you guys fire me up, but you know what? A couple years ago, I wasn't praying my rosary. My family wasn't praying the rosary. You guys kicked my spiritual butt. That's how he said it, Jess. And now his family's praying the rosary. They're going to church together.
Good man.
And,
good.
You know, that's why we do this. So get the rosary out, dads, and start leading it. Again, confession at least once a month. Come on. It's not asking too much. It's like let me ask you a question. How often do you wash your car, dude? Come on. At least once a month, right? Probably every 2 weeks or a week.
Exactly.
What about your soul? So get into the box. Read your Bible each day.
That's number three.
Number three. You got to read your Bible every day. I mean, remember what the saints say? Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Go ahead, Jess. Finish it up.
For Pete's sake, your Bible could be in your cell phone.
Yes. With
the mass readings. That's reading the Bible every day. Make the sign of the cross. Open up your cell phone. Click daily mass readings and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Or speak, Lord, your knucklehead is listening. And read it. That takes 5 to 6 minutes. And you get the word of God in you. That protects you from the poison of secular humanism. That protects you from the poison of moral we got many secular humanists, moral relativists, Catholics, because they don't read the word of God. That's what vaccinates you against that cancer. Number four, Fridays are a day of penance. Figure out what penance, like today, what am I doing today? Okay? No meat today, okay? No snacks today. Water for all my meals today. One regular meal, two small meals that don't equal a meal. That's my penance today. I'm going to go to Mass as well. I'm going to be praying throughout the day, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. Angelus.
Oh, man.
Deliverance prayers in the evening. Holy Rosary, got that done. 3 o'clock, Divine Mercy. Bump it up. I got my sacramentals on. Today's penance. And tomorrow, actually, but I'm doing it today anyhow because it's October 31st, Halloween.
Yeah.
And also the fifth stone, like Terry said, monthly confession.
Yep.
There it is, the five stones.
Yep. And I just want to mention, Jesse, if people want you to come to your parish and do these missions you're doing all over the country, it's hard to get, Jess, but go to jesseromero.com. And if you'd like me to come and speak on evangelization at your organization or parish, just go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-526-2151. Jesse, your mission you just did out in the high desert, St. Mary's, I think it's in Palmdale. Tell us a little bit about the feedback you got from people hearing these, you know, just basic teachings of the church.
I'll tell you what, everywhere I'm going, Terry, people are downloading the app. They're listening to us on social media.
Good.
They know about Virgin Most Powerful. They love the type of Catholicism, no nonsense, genuine, authentic Catholic teaching that we're giving. They say don't let the pedal off the metal everywhere I go. And other people that don't know about us, well, after I give presentations, they download the app right there in my presence. And so, God, thanks be to God, we're growing this our little internet network. And I can tell you, Terry, I'll just make it quick. A witch came over to one of my talks. She said, somebody told me about you. She was crying. She goes, I've been a witch for 20 years.
Wow.
And you can tell that she was carrying a demon around with her. Seriously. Yeah. She says, I want to come back to the Catholic Church. I've been practicing witch for 20 years, but now the other witches are cursing me because they know that I want to come to church.
Of course.
So, I said, oh no, any priests around? No priests around. Okay. Here goes nothing. There was the holy water baptismal font there.
Sure.
I said, put your hands in there. I said, both hands. She put both hands in there. She started saying, it's burning. I said, keep them in there. Look at the crucifix. Don't look at me. See that crucifix? Yes, yes. Look at him. Don't look at me. And I started praying deliverance prayers in Latin.
Beautiful.
And it went well, Terry. It
Praise
went well.
God.
I got to connect with a priest right after that for confession.
And you know what, Jess? That's what you and I live for, helping people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Arizona.
No.
Philly. Texas. No. California. No. State of grace.
Amen, brother.
Don't live in the state of mortal sin. Get the heck out of there ASAP.
You got it. And tomorrow I'm going to have Bishop Athanasius, not in person, but I've got a clip that you're going to want to hear regarding the family and Fatima, the third secret. You won't want to miss tomorrow's program here at Virgin Most Powerful on the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you. We pray for you. Would you please pray for us? And as I always say, full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. And thanks so much for your financial and prayerful support. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.